Picture a party where you're the first to arrive. The music's playing, the drinks are ready, but nobody else is there. You check your phone awkwardly, wait 15 minutes, then leave. That empty room? It's exactly what happens to 90% of new apps and platforms. They launch with fanfare, attract a few curious users, then collapse into digital graveyards because nobody stuck around long enough for the magic to happen. The difference between Instagram and the 1,000 photo sharing apps you've never heard of isn't better technology or smarter founders. It's understanding a deceptively simple principle that reshapes entire industries. Products become valuable when people use them together. This insight has minted more billionaires in the past 2 decades than perhaps any other business concept. Yet most entrepreneurs completely misunderstand how it actually works. Network effects sound straightforward until you try building one. A telephone with nobody to call is worthless. Facebook without friends is a lonely profile page. Uber without drivers is just a colorful map. The world's most valuable companies, worth trillions collectively, all harness this dynamic, connecting billions through marketplaces, communication tools, and platforms. Yet here's the paradox. Launching networked products has become brutally difficult precisely because they're so valuable. The App Store that debuted with 500 apps in 2008 now hosts millions fighting for attention. Instagram can clone Snapchat's features in months, but replicating millions of interconnected users? Nearly impossible. For decades, tech relied on Metcalfe's law, claiming network value grows with users squared. Elegant math, terrible guidance. It ignores acquisition costs, engagement quality, and overcrowding. A better model comes from meerkat populations. Below a threshold, groups collapse. Above it, they thrive until hitting limits. Uber discovered identical patterns. Fewer than 50 drivers meant 15-minute waits and collapsing demand. Above that threshold, waits dropped to 5 minutes and growth accelerated. Most networked products die from anti-network effects. Users leave because not enough others are there yet. The solution, build an atomic network, the smallest stable network delivering value independently. For Zoom, that's 2 people. For Slack, 3 teammates exchanging 2,000 messages. For Airbnb, 300 listings in one city. For Uber, 15 to 20 concurrent drivers achieving sub-3-minute pickups. Bank of America's 1958 credit card launch demonstrates this brilliantly. Rather than launching statewide, they targeted Fresno, population 250,000, where 45% already banked with them. They mailed 60,000 unsolicited cards simultaneously, creating instant critical mass, then signed up 300 merchants. This density over breadth approach has been replicated endlessly. Tinder at USC, Facebook at Harvard, Uber with San Francisco tech professionals. The right atomic network isn't a demographic. It's a small group with shared context where network density creates immediate value. Within every network, a tiny minority creates disproportionate value. Wikipedia receives hundreds of millions of visitors monthly, yet only 100,000 actively edit, with just 4,000 making 100 plus edits monthly, a mere 0.02% of users. Stephen Pruitt, a U.S. customs officer, has made nearly 3 million edits unpaid in his spare time. This is your hard side, users who contribute more value but are harder to acquire and satisfy. Bradley Horowitz's 1-10-100 rule shows just 1% create content, 10% engage with it, while 100% benefit. The key to launching successfully is attracting this critical minority first. Build something solving a real problem for your hard side, and the rest follows. The invite-only approach seems counterintuitive when seeking users, yet Gmail, LinkedIn, and Facebook all used it effectively. When you give existing users invites, they naturally replicate their own networks. Better still, the most connected people join earliest and invite other highly connected people, creating a dinner party of social butterflies that benefits everyone. The come for the tool, stay for the network strategy provides single-user utility before adding collaboration. Instagram initially saw 65% of users not following anyone, they used it as a better, free version of Hipstamatic. As celebrities joined, network effects took over, bypassing the cold start problem. Sometimes you must pay for launch. Uber guaranteed drivers hourly payments regardless of trips, pushing markets to the tipping point where network effects became self-sustaining. Reddit's founders created fake accounts and posted content themselves, a strategy called Flintstoning. Reaching escape velocity requires strengthening the acquisition effect, which enables viral growth through existing networks. Users sign up, find value, share with friends who also sign up, and the cycle repeats. Because these loops run through code rather than marketing campaigns, they can be optimized through hundreds of A/B tests. Individual optimizations might boost conversion 5-10%, but compounding effects dramatically improve efficiency. The engagement effect describes how denser networks create higher stickiness. As Twitter added media outlets, celebrities, and politicians, it evolved from friend communication to a diverse platform with multiple use cases. Networks focused solely on acquisition without engagement ultimately fail. Retention prevents unraveling when acquisition slows. The economic effect accelerates monetization as networks grow. A small Uber network providing one trip hourly at $10 requires $15 per hour subsidy to meet $25 hour driver guarantees, burning $15 per trip. A mature network providing two trips hourly generates $20 naturally, requiring only $5 per hour subsidy, just $2.50 burn per trip. Larger networks operate more efficiently, offering better incentives while cutting prices. These forces create formidable advantages that compound over time. Yet every networked product eventually hits the ceiling when growth stalls and network effects weaken. Even Facebook plateaued around 90 million users before building its first growth team. Challenges include market saturation, degrading marketing channels. Early banner ads achieved 78% click-through rates. Today, it's 0.3 to 1%. And network revolts when users rebel against changes. Context collapse occurs when distinct networks merge, creating a crisis of self-presentation. As networks expand to include parents, teachers, bosses, and strangers, users become inhibited. Products resist this through subnetworks. Messaging apps confine interactions to small groups, while Slack channels, Facebook groups, and Instagram secondary accounts maintain separate contexts. Overcrowding creates a rich-get-richer phenomenon where established users gain advantages. Algorithms manage this imperfectly. Pure engagement optimization promotes clickbait, while revenue optimization surfaces irrelevant but expensive content. Solutions require constantly layering new channels, targeting adjacent users who haven't engaged, and systematically removing barriers. Network-based competition tends toward winner-take-all because users within atomic networks standardize on a single product. However, network effects don't magically fend off competition. If your product has them, competitors likely do too. Large incumbents fight gravitational pull as they saturate markets, forcing them to add use cases while maintaining profitability. Startups can target niches without immediate profit pressure. Cherry picking is the network-specific innovator's dilemma. Upstarts target underserved niches within larger networks. Airbnb built denser atomic networks city by city, eventually offering more comprehensive inventory in specific locations than Craigslist, despite fewer total listings. The Big Bang launch strategy typically fails with networked products. Google Plus exemplifies this. Despite quickly amassing 90 million users by leveraging Google's ecosystem, it became a ghost town with users spending just minutes monthly compared to Facebook's 6 to 7 hours. The problem was launching wide rather than deep, creating disconnected clusters rather than densely interconnected communities. When you're the larger player, competing over the hard side works brilliantly. Converting drivers from competitors simultaneously strengthens your network while weakening rivals. The next generation of transformative products will emerge from unexpected places, targeting niches that initially seem too small to matter. eBay started with collectibles, Facebook with college students, Uber with limos, Airbnb with air mattresses, TikTok with lip-syncing videos. What separates winners from failures isn't superior technology or smarter founders. It's understanding how to build atomic networks, reach tipping points, achieve escape velocity, break through ceilings, and defend against competitors. In a world where software can be copied overnight, the only defensible moat is built from millions of human connections, each making the product more valuable for everyone else.